want to welcome you to the radio ministry of Church of the Promise in Iway, Louisiana, with Pastors Dwayne and Cindy Daigle. We're a non-denominational Bible teaching ministry with a passion to help God's people find their place in the kingdom of God. We want you to know that your life counts and that God wants to give you a hope and a future. We trust that you'll be both blessed and challenged by today's message. Here is Pastor Daigle.
The title of this message is, What's Included in Your Service Plan? We pray this is a blessing to your life.
You know, every moment of every day, you're living out your commitment to Christ, or I would rather say your surrender to Christ, whatever level of surrender that is. And really, truly, there's only one level of surrender. There are various levels of commitment, but there's only one level of surrender. And so every day we're called to live that out to the max. Would anybody agree with me? Those around you who know that you're a Christian, understand, Pastor Cindy kind of talked about this. She's always stealing my stuff. She don't even know what I'm going to preach, and she's always stealing my stuff, kind of. But everybody's watching you. If you're a Christian, once people know you're a Christian, they're watching you. They're watching everything about you. They're watching to see what you're going to do, and they're listening to see what you're going to say. And sometimes they're going to push your buttons just to try to prove that you're not who you claim to be. Especially family members, they'll do that to you. And so I think the world really wants to see something real, and because they do see a lot of religious stuff, but they don't see a whole lot of people truly living out the reality of a surrendered life to Christ very much. And so, you know, many times they see people who profess Christ, but they don't live it out. And so they want all the blessings without any of the surrender to God. And so, unfortunately, there's a whole slew of preachers out there preaching that it's all about what we can get out of God. Now, God is a wonderful Father, and He does love to bless. I don't question that at all. He does love to bless, but we better be careful that we're not making that the focus of our life, is what we can get out of God. I've said this many times before. What more could He possibly do? He's already done everything. I mean, He's already given everything, right? So, again, don't get me wrong. God does want you to prosper, and God does want to abundantly bless us. God does love to give to His people. But here's where we get it wrong. The focus should never be on us. The focus should be on Him. That's why I've said so many times about worship that, you know, the church has moved into this consumer mentality where we have become the consumers of the worship. It's about what pleases my ear and what makes me feel good, but worship was never intended to be consumed by people. It was always supposed to be consumed by God. It's the fire of God that came down and consumed the sacrifice, which was their worship. And so we get it wrong when we put the focus on us. You know, our prosperity and our blessings and our receiving things from the Lord is based on really how focused we are on Him and how focused we are on ourselves. And our focus, again, is supposed to be on Him, not on ourselves. If your focus stays on you, then what you will end up with is a form of Christianity, which really isn't Christianity at all. It's humanism. And I see that stuff being preached constantly. And so just like service is very important to us, it's very important to God. And remember, the title of the message tonight is, What's Included in Your Service Plan? Now, I'm not talking about how you're going to get serviced. I'm talking about the service plan that we owe to God. Okay, what's included in your service plan? Because how many of you know He's got service for us to do? And so, just like it's important to us, it's important to God. You know, if we buy a car, you know, we want to know what kind of service to expect from that car or whatever, a computer or anything else we buy. You know, we buy it, we want the thing to work. Am I right? Would anybody agree with me? If we buy something, we want to make sure it works. We don't want to have a bunch of problems with it, so on and so forth. And so many times if you buy something, especially if you buy something used, it will come with some kind of service agreement, some kind of service warranty type of thing. And that's really what a warranty is. And so, you know, when we go shopping for something, we want good service. We have high expectations of service. We, you know, I see it on the Facebook page all the time for iWay. They come go to one of the fast food restaurants so they can get on Facebook and complain about it. You know, talk about how lousy the service is and so on and so forth. And so service is important to us. We want good service when we go and spend money. Can I get a bigger amen? Okay, so, you know, we have high expectations of service. If you go eat out somewhere and the waiter or the waitress does a lousy job and they bring you the wrong food and they never check on you, so on and so forth, well, it's, although I still leave a good tip, I have to do it with a, I have to adjust my attitude to do it. And we'll just say it that way, okay? Because we expect a certain amount of service. Well, you know, the problem is it's because we made it all about us. You know, the reason I tip even when it's bad service is because I realize that it ain't all about me. I don't know what that girl's going through or what that young man's going through. I don't know what, you know, maybe they're just befuddled and they're confused and they don't know what to do and they're having a hard time thinking because they don't know how they're going to pay their bills this week. And so the Lord just put it on my heart. We very rarely eat out anymore, but the Lord just put it on my heart. If we ever go to a restaurant, always tip. No matter what, always tip. Good service, bad service, go ahead and tip, right? And give them a good tip. And so, you know, we have high expectations of service, though, naturally speaking. And so I want to ask the question tonight, what is your service plan like? You know, when I take my truck to the dealership to go have it serviced because of some issue or something that it's having, you know, they send me a survey, and they'll always do this. And before I leave the dealership, the service advisor always tells me that without fail, they always tell me, they say, I truly strive for excellent service. And they'll tell me that hoping that I'm going to reflect that on the survey, that they gave excellent service. And so, you know, they want to know, the company wants to know if their service was good to me. And so here's the question. If God was to get surveyed on the kind of service he gets from us and the person was honest about it, how would we do? How would we be rated? And so the first question on the questionnaire for us tonight, because this is what we're going to do, we're answering the questionnaire tonight. The first question on the questionnaire is, what backs up your service plan? In other words, you know, where does it originate? And so with us, the question is, does it originate with our heart or is it just with our lips? Anybody ever been given some kind of guarantee or some kind of warranty, whether it's work they did for you or whatever, and then they did something lousy, but they don't want to back it up? Anybody ever had that happen? I mean, I've heard so many people after this storm complain about the fact, you know, they hired people. I had somebody telling me the other day about his 80-something-year-old mother who is in terrible health. You know, some out-of-state contractor came in and asked for half the money down right up front and then skipped the state. Has no idea where he went, took her money. I've heard that over and over again by people. So, and then others that maybe they did something, but they didn't warranty their work, although they said they were going to, but you can't get them back over there to fix it. And so what backs up your service plan? Because it's got to be something more than just our lips, because our lips mean nothing if our heart's not in it. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13, the Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me. Now, look at this. Their worship of me, what they call worship of me, is based on merely human rules that they have been taught. It's not something that comes out of their heart. That's why, you know, years ago, I began, because growing up in, especially in our kinds of churches, I noticed that there were certain behaviors that people would do, certain things that they would do all the time. And I realized it was just learned behavior. And over the years, it kind of changes. You'll see, you know, there was a while. Now, I'm just say this, I'm picking on us because we're in this, you know, we call it Holy Ghost filled, charismatic, Pentecostal type. I remember several years ago, in fact, somebody posted a video of this the other day, that, you know, Spirit-filled churches all had this little, same little dance they would do, the Holy Ghost hop. Yeah, Carmen did a song about it. And everybody did the same little dance. I'm not going to do it, but everybody did the same little dance, but everybody did it. Everywhere. That was, you know, if you were a good praiser, then you learned the Holy Ghost hop. For a while, everybody fell on the floor. For a while, everybody did this or everybody did that. And I'm not saying those things were not real. Of course they were real. I've had them happen to me. But there's a difference if it's real and it's God moving, or if it's just some learned behavior that, well, if I don't fall, people aren't going to think I'm spiritual and I'm not receiving, or whatever the case is. And I learned a long time ago, if you're going to fall, you're going to fall. You don't have to help God out, and the preacher don't have to help God out by pushing you and all this kind of stuff. None of that has to happen. When the power of God hits you in that kind of way where you can't stand, you're just not going to stand. You don't have to do anything to prove anything to anybody. But if that's how God moves on you, then it's going to happen. I'll never forget. We had a big old fella. Some of you know him. I'm not going to name him, but he was here several years ago and I had led him to the Lord on a job. And it's when I was working construction, but I'll never forget. He's a big old boy. And he told me one day, he goes, I'm really so thankful now to be saved and all that kind of stuff. He said, but all that falling on the ground stuff and all that, he said, I don't buy that. And I told him, well, you don't have to buy it. I mean, it ain't for sale. You just, if it happens to you, it'll happen to you. And I think God, just because he has a sense of humor, just, you know, made it happen. And I'll never forget. I never even touched him. Walked up to go pray for him. Never even touched him. My hand got about 6 inches from him. And that big old boy hit the floor. Had two ushers behind him. They couldn't catch him. He told me it felt like something just swept his feet out from under him. So God can move like that if he wants to move. But we better be careful that we're not just operating in learned spiritual behavior. When we come into this church and we're singing songs, there are certain ways that we may worship and things we may do. It's just learned behavior. It's what we've done. And because it's learned behavior, we're just going through the motions because this is what I'm supposed to do, but my heart's not in it. And that's what we're talking about. We need to be serving him, making sure we're serving from our heart, not just our lips. Now, you know, we live in a day, by the way, where we better get whatever's promised to us, we better get it in writing. And, you know, I've how many of you remember Judge Judy? I've seen enough Judge Judy type programs to know that you better have proof. You know, there was a time when, a handshake and a verbal agreement was enough, but not today. It's not like that anymore because people don't value the truth and they don't keep their word. And so a lot of times, you know, they bring up a fact that there was this verbal agreement and they're trying to sue this person, but the judge can't uphold it because there's no proof of the verbal agreement. And so that's the way it is with a lot of Christians. They've given God verbal agreements. You know, every time somebody gets baptized, I ask the question, do you vow before God and man that you will serve him all the days of your life? Not one time has anyone ever said no. They've always said yes, right? They had a verbal agreement. But this is what happens many times. They'll, God, this is their verbal agreement. God, if you'll please just get me out of this trouble, I'll serve you with all my heart. I'll never miss church again. God, if you'll help me this time, you know, I'll start reading your word. I'll start doing this. I'll start doing that. And we, you know, God, if, God, if, God, if. But what usually happens is with people like that is as soon as God comes through for them, you know, because maybe you've been that person at one time, or maybe you've known people like this. As soon as God comes through for them, they go back to doing exactly what they were doing before they got in trouble. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 8 and 9, Jesus actually quoted Isaiah 29:13, the scripture that we just read a while ago. He actually quoted that when dealing with the religious Pharisees about, you know, you come close with your lips, but your heart's far from me. And so Jesus was giving us through that divine insight into the soul of man. And he's looking for something more in our life than just words. He wants us to back up our service with our hearts. Listen, our worship will never be right until our relationship is right. That's why, you know, in a couple of the Old Testament books where the Bible talks about, you know, away with your songs, away with your, basically, it's just noise to me. And one of the scriptures, I mean, I remember the first time I saw this, it stunned me. He said, oh, if somebody would just lock the doors on that temple to keep the people out, their worship sickens me. Their worship is just noise to me. I don't even want to hear it. And I often wonder sometimes, you know, is it ever like that for us? When we get to just kind of going through the motions, God says, you know what? I really wish you'd just shut up. I don't even want to hear your songs. I don't want to hear the so-called praises coming out of your mouth because you don't mean it. And so the relationship has to be right or the worship never will be right. So God's people can't just keep going through the motions and expect God to be pleased with us. And so, you know, we can say, well, all we want that is to serve the Lord. I've heard people say that. I just want to serve the Lord. It's all I want. You know, all I want is to see people saved. But if our life doesn't reflect that, if we don't live that out in life, then those are nothing but empty words. Would you agree? So when all we have is lip service, when all we have is a bended knee without a prostrated heart, then it's just lip service. It's mouth worship. It's something that God rejects. And it's just honor of the lips without devotion of the life. Deuteronomy 6:5, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. So it starts with the heart. So when you get to this place, then nothing is more important to you than what God desires. So that's a question. Listen, I have to ask myself these things often. Have I gotten to a place where I desire anything more than God and what He wants, His will? Because the moment I do that, then I can identify any idols that have arisen in my life. And so, again, nothing is more important to you than what God desires. If our service plan for Him is coming from the heart. And that's exactly where God wants you to live. Now, the next question is this. What does your service plan cover? What does it cover? You know, one of the biggest money makers for retail places is a service plan. If you buy anything, like whether it's electronics, something at Best Buy or something like that, or whether it's a new vehicle, that kind of thing, there's a service plan that they like to try to sell you. Anybody got that phone call here lately? You know, we've been trying to contact you about your extended warranty on your vehicle, right? We get them all the time. I got one just a while ago. We get them all the time. Remember seeing somebody had posted on a Facebook a picture. They found a bottle floating out, you know, in the water, and they got all excited because it was a message in the bottle. And when they pulled it out of the bottle, it said, we've been trying to get in contact with you about your extended warranty. When I bought my truck a few years ago, one of the selling points on that truck, one of the things I liked about it was that it came with a 100,000-mile bumper-to-bumper warranty. Nobody else was doing that. And they had that. Well, I'd never had that before, and I thought, man, that's going to be awesome. Bumper-to-bumper. Anybody know what bumper-to-bumper means? That means from one bumper to the other bumper. And I asked them, I said, does that mean if anything breaks on this truck, if anything goes bad, it's covered, it costs me nothing? Yep, that's what that means. And I actually believed them. But recently I found out that's not really true. That there are certain things that they know are going to have to be replaced long before that warranty ends, yet in the small print somewhere, it says it doesn't cover that. Things like anything to do with the emission system, anything like that. And that stuff ain't cheap either. So again, there are certain things that they know they're going to break down. They've built it in knowing that this in a certain amount of time is going to break down and you're going to have to bring it in and give us a bunch of money to fix it. So like anything that has to do with that kind of situation, there are also things in our life where, you know, we tell God, you know, we give Him our warranty. We tell Him our service plan, but many times we're deceptive about it. What kind of coverage does our service cover when it comes to serving the Lord? You know, most of the time, it's not a problem if it's as long as it's not inconvenient to us. We don't mind. We'll do anything he asks us to do as long as it's not inconvenient to us. You know, if it doesn't take a whole lot of effort, a whole lot of time, a whole lot of sacrifice, we don't mind doing it. We're so thankful and so glad, so happy to serve the Lord. I just love serving the Lord. And we'll gladly serve. And there are a lot of people, you know, who like position without responsibility. And understand, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord, you received a new position, but you also received a new responsibility. Now, Romans 12, 1 and 2. I'm going to read this out of the King James Version because of the language here. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Your bodies, not just your spirit, but your bodies too. The Apostle Paul later tells us, you know, consecrate literally the parts of your body to God. Holy and acceptable unto God. And notice what it says, which is your reasonable, what? Service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You know, I love that you may prove. That means it's demonstrated in your life. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And I've taught on this before, but I've heard preachers say, well, you know, there's three levels of the will of God, you know, and they preach that. There's the good will of God, then there's the acceptable will of God, and there's the perfect will of God. No, that's three ways of talking about the same thing. The will of God. God wants what he wants. And it's ridiculous to preach that, well, you know, if you don't want to give God that much, well, that's okay. It's at least the good will of God. Come on. He's talking about, it's three words to describe the will of God. It's good, pleasing, and acceptable, right? Perfect, good, perfect, and acceptable. So we are to give God every part of our life, and everything less than that or anything less than that is subpar service. So I guess tonight what I'm trying to do is just take this from a perspective where we can understand. If you've ever had bad service given to you somewhere, you could understand, you know, God deserves much better service than you and I do, right? And so when you present your body as a living sacrifice, you're doing two things. Number one, understand, you must sacrifice your feelings. Man, so many people have trouble with that one. You must sacrifice your feelings. You know, the whole heart must be given to God. You know, today, people in our culture, it's all about feelings. I mean, you could murder somebody, just don't hurt anybody's feelings. I mean, it's really ridiculous. It's really insane. But you must sacrifice your feelings. No, we have to allow him to strengthen the good things that he's begun in our life and take out the bad things. That is never going to stop as long as we're alive. And we can't allow ourselves to be dominated by our feelings, but that's where many people live. People get offended about everything. And so, you know, at this church, I don't want people to walk in and be surprised when after a while we've baited them, then tell them something from the pulpit that offends them. No, I try to offend them immediately. You know, I mean, I figure keep the message consistent. If truth offends, then truth offends, right? But we don't need to play games, right? And there's a lot of churches that it's like a bait and switch thing. It's like if you've ever dealt with Mormons or Jehovah's Witness, and they'll use certain language that we might use, but they mean something different. But they've learned our language, so they use that to draw you in. So, again, we can't allow ourselves to be dominated by our feelings. But that's where most people live. And so we give God an imperfect sacrifice by keeping back certain areas of our life. And then we try to excuse them by saying stupid stuff like, well, you know, that God knew who he knew who I was. And he, you know, it's kind of like husbands and wives say, you know, they knew who they were when they married me. God knew who I was when he called me. Yeah, but he didn't want you to stay that way. He called you because he saw your potential. We saw what you could be. Right? And so we got to stop using that excuse. Well, you know, but that's just my personality. Well, that ain't going to work with God. But when Christ comes in, if your old nature isn't replaced with his new nature. Now, think about this. Not trying to make anybody feel insecure tonight, but if you still have the same old nature that you've always had and that's how you operate, you probably have not been born again. Because the Bible says we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. That's why I think it's so dangerous to just try to, you know, focus on just try to get somebody to say the magic prayer. If I could just get them to say that prayer, everything will change. No, it's got to be much deeper than that. They've got to come to the reality that they actually need a Savior. They don't even really believe they're that bad. They think they're pretty good. They know people way worse than them. And I hear it all the time. Ask anybody. You start talking to anybody. Well, at least I never did this, and at least I don't do that. So, again, we get a whole new nature. We get his nature. Now, our mind has to be renewed, and we are being changed day by day. But if you're still doing things the same way, talking the same way, you know, thinking the same way, interacting with people the same way as you did, you know, 10 years ago before you got saved, there's a problem. You better look and make sure you got saved. All right, so the second part of this sacrifice is this. We sacrifice our feelings. But also we must sacrifice our affections. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 and 3, it says, set your minds. King James actually uses the word affections. It's the Greek word phroneo. Affections, it also means directed, intense interest. Set your affections, your mind, your directed, intense interest on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Yeah, I hear back from, you know, ministers in Ukraine, pastors and ministers in Ukraine. It's just horrible what they're going through. And yet, they're praising God because in the midst of this, people are running to them, begging them to tell them what they must do to be saved. And they're saying, you know, this is horrible. It's a horrible thing our country's going through. But thank God I have an opportunity now to reach people that would have never come before. Man, that's like, I mean, think about that. Most people, we just want to get out of that. I just want to get out of that trouble. I mean, I want to get out of that danger. I want to be comfortable, right? So we have to sacrifice our affections. And then it tells us in verse 3, for you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. Now, we got to get to the place where we say, like I've said many times before, like Jesus said in Gethsemane, not my will, but yours be done. If we never got to that place where we said that in our heart, not my will, but yours be done, you don't have a relationship with God. Most people enter into modern day American Christianity with the ideal that if I can come to God, he will make my will happen. And they'll misquote scriptures. Whatever you ask in his name, whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. But they don't read any more of the gospel. They miss the whole counsel of the gospel. They miss the part about, well, if it's according to his will, he'll hear it and you have it. They miss the part about he who does the will of God. I mean, over and over again, the scripture tells us it's about doing the will of God. And so, sacrificing your affections, by the way, doesn't mean that you're not going to love anything else or anyone else. It just means that you won't love anyone or anything more than him. And you won't allow anything else to stand in the way of your love for him. Now, if you look at verse 3 there, notice it simply said, it says, we're dead. Notice it said, you died. The truth is, that most people, I'm not going to say most. I don't want to say most. I will just say a whole lot of people who claim to be Christian, they never died. They're still very much alive. And I'm not talking about in a physical sense. I'm talking about in the sense of their old nature and their will. They never died. If we've been born again, we died. The seed goes in the ground and dies. And then new life rises. And so it tells us, it says, you died. We're dead. Let me share a few thoughts about dead people. I noticed about dead people. I've done a lot of funerals. And I've noticed something about dead people common to every single one of them. I've never heard a single one complain. Not even one. I've never heard a single one tell God, no, I won't do that. I've never heard a single one, you know, complain about the service they were getting. I've never walked up to that casket and had them complain about the makeup job that the people did on them. See, they don't do what pleases them. Why? Because they're dead. They can't because they're dead. I preached a sermon many, many years ago. The title of it was Dead Men Don't Sin. And so that's why we need to sacrifice our affections so that we will be dead to the world but be alive in Christ. And so our service needs to be truly complete service. Would anybody agree with me that God deserves the best? See, He deserves the real bumper to bumper. Well, we'll say it this way. He deserves the head to toe kind of warranty, especially the heart, especially the powertrain. Amen. And then finally, another question on our service survey tonight is this. How long is your service plan good for? Because, you know, even if you had all the right answers on the other two, you got to understand, you better have the right answer for number three. How long is your service plan good for? You know, it bothers me, really bothers me, when I pay a lot of money for something and they say, well, it was covered for 90 days, but it's day 91 and the thing's broken now. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many of you like those lifetime warranties? Man, I get excited if I find out something has a lifetime warranty on it. Let me just tell you something. Pastor Cindy's going to be mad for telling you this, but I have this thing, you know, when I buy a mattress, that thing has a warranty. I'm using that warranty. That mattress gets uncomfortable or whatever, you know, so it's been a couple of times. I mean, we had a little grandkid that, you know, grandkids came over and they were sleeping in the bed or whatever, they have their little accidents. You get yellow stains and whatever on the mattress. You can't get rid of them things. You know, right? What do? I load that thing in the truck and bring it back. She says, don't you dare do that. You just take that thing to the dump. I say, no, I'm going to get me a free mattress. You want to come? She refuses to come. She will not come. So the other day I was saying something about, you know, waking up my back a little achy and sore. And I said, well, ain't no big deal. I said, I got a lifetime warranty on this mattress. She says, don't you dare. I told her, I walk in the store and I'm saying, yeah, my wife, Cindy Daigle, she says this mattress needs to be changed out. Anyway. Look, lifetime warranty, that gets me excited if I got something for a lifetime warranty. Now, here's the problem, though. You better be careful when they tell you that there's a lifetime warranty, because a lot of times they slip that little word in there, limited lifetime warranty. And some of us do the same thing to God. Lord, I'll serve you all the days of my life. We sing it in the songs all the time. I'll serve you all the days of my life, but then we put limits on it. I'll serve you unless we got the little stipulation in small print. I'll serve you all the days of my life. I need to start putting that on the baptism certificates. You know, look, if you're going to add any small print, go ahead and do it right now. And that way we know what your real intentions are, right? But I'll serve you all the days of my life. And then we limit it and we'll say, well, you know, I'll do this, but I won't do that. I'll love people. I'll love them with the love of God, but only the ones who are really nice to me, not the ones that treat me wrong. I'll love people. I'll love them with the love of God as long as they don't make me mad, as long as they don't mistreat me. I'll go anywhere you want, God, anywhere. I'll go where you want me to go. I'll say what you want me to say. We used to sing a song like that years ago. Man, most people were lying through their teeth when they were singing that song. I'll go anywhere you want me to go until you tell me where you want me to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say till you tell me what you want me to say. So let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. It says, therefore, very simple, therefore you were bought at a price. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Our service agreement is right there. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your bodies. Your salvation experience cost God, literally, it cost him everything. It cost him, we know this, it cost him his son. There was no more valuable thing he could have possibly given. He paid really good for our salvation. He paid good for it. In my opinion, my natural opinion, he paid way too much. Anybody agree? Anybody know what I'm talking about? And I say that based on a natural opinion. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't want to sacrifice my son's life for some yahoo who's going to do nothing but curse my name and deny my existence and kill people who love me, that kind of thing. I mean, that makes no natural sense to me. It cost him a lot. And you know what? We need to get off of this thing of trying to make him buy an extended warranty if we're going to do anything else. When he did what he did, it it should have came with a lifetime warranty with no small print. The one who knew no sin had to become sin for us. Our salvation cost him everything. How many of you would agree we need to give him a real lifetime warranty? Not a limited lifetime warranty, a real lifetime warranty. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, he said, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." You know, I hear preachers talk about it. I believe in it. And in having favor, I believe that God will give you favor with him and with men. I believe that. I've seen that. I've experienced that. But that better not be my goal, to have favor with men. Because sometimes in order to have favor with God, you're not going to have favor with men. And you need to know it. And you need to know that whether you have favor with men or not, you're going to keep your favor with God. And you are not going to compromise that in any way, shape, or form. You are not going to lower your standard. You're not going to lower your obedience to the Lord based on someone else's opinion because you want to impress them. I find that with sinners, people that don't love God, I find that they're actually more impressed with you when you actually live out what you're saying, when you don't compromise. I remember a young man telling me he was with somebody, and the guy offered him a beer, and he said, no, I don't drink anymore. I don't do that anymore. And he goes, "Oh, come on, man. What you think you're better than me. You can't even drink a beer with your old friend." And he said, "Man, I don't do that anymore. I don't live that lifestyle anymore." And the guy says, "Yeah, well, some friend you are. You think you're so good." And he just kept putting the pressure on him. Finally, he took that bottle. He said, "I gave in to the pressure." And when I raised the bottle to my lips, before anything even came out of the bottle, when I raised it to my lips, the guy said, "I knew you weren't for real." So here's the point. They want to see something real. They really do. They just want to know that what you're saying is really in your heart and you're really going to live it out and you're not going to be a hypocrite about it. "You will be hated by everyone because of me," he said. Why in the world are we shocked and surprised when, if we're truly living out the light of Christ, some people are going to hate us? And Jesus said everyone. I mean, that's pretty strong. So let me ask you tonight, are you living out your life in a way with true service, with no small print exclusions in there, in a way that's pleasing to God? Are we doing that? I'm not accusing. I'm simply asking the question. We're filling out the survey tonight. Are you really surrendered to God? Do you obey when he speaks? Are you living your life out loud for him? Tonight, I just believe that God's calling us to be fully surrendered to him. You know, I was thinking about this today. The world, most people in America, though we see what's going on through the news and through Facebook and all that kind of stuff, we are so close. We are so close to a possible world war right now. I'm not saying this to scare people. I'm telling you, while many in the church just playing games, a lot of them out there playing Mardi Gras, the whole world is literally on the edge. And believe it or not, we are about to get disrupted in a major way, because bombs and tanks and airplanes are not the only weapons that the enemy uses. Our whole entire, and mark my words on this, our whole entire product stream, because we get products from overseas, we buy products from our enemies and shut our own people down, and our supply stream is about to get hit. How many of you notice when you go to the grocery store here lately, you see a bunch of empty shelves? You go to any store, any kind of store, anywhere, and you're going to see empty shelves. You're going to see empty bins, things that can't be supplied. That's about to increase. Now, people may say, "Well, I don't believe that. That's a bad confession." Well, I'm telling you, it's the reality. Okay? So our confession doesn't deny the reality, that the reality is here. Our confession should say, it doesn't matter what the reality is. My God's going to get me through if I keep my eyes on him, if I serve him. Amen. But don't fool yourself into thinking that everything's just going to be peaches and cream from here on out. It's not. And I believe that God is going to use it. And I believe that revival is coming. And I believe that people are going to really truly turn to the Lord, because I believe that God is raising up a remnant who will be true light in the darkness. And I believe he's called us to be a part of that. But are you really living surrendered to God? So, you know, he can't do what he really wants to do in our lives until we become fully surrendered to him, holding nothing back. And know this, he never asks you to give up something that he doesn't replace with something greater than what you gave up. So if you're not there today, wouldn't you like to be there today? Now, can I be honest with you? As I'm filling out my survey in my heart, I'm realizing, man, there's some areas I'm lacking. I mean, there's some areas. You said that a little too loud, brother. You said that too loud. There's some areas. If I have to be completely honest, which I need to be completely honest, there's areas in my life I have to say, God, have I been totally obedient to you? Do I act every time you tell me to act, or do I get caught up in my own little world sometimes? When I go to the grocery store, am I even thinking about that cashier? Am I even thinking about the people in that grocery store that maybe you put there for me to meet? Or am I just trying to get my stuff and get out of there, right? There's no telling what God would do through our lives if everybody in this church tonight, if every one of us would determine in our hearts to fully serve the Lord with no time limit, no exclusions. I believe that there's no telling what God would do in and through our lives. But until we do, we can only dream about what he could do instead of experiencing it. I'd like to find out. Anybody with me? Yeah. So here's something vitally important. I can't end this message without telling you this. This is very, very important. If you don't hear anything else that I said tonight, or remember this. It's vitally important to understand this. We are not just servants trying to work off a debt. We owe a great debt that we could never pay. But we are not just servants trying to work off a debt. We are sons. And that includes the ladies too. And here's the difference. We serve from a place of trust and authority given to us as part of his family. We are serving sons. We're not just, listen, we'll say it this way. We're not just employees. We've been given his inheritance to use for his service. So in the service that we owe him, he actually gives us what we need to do it. So if God is challenging you tonight to take the next step, understand there's no excuse that we can make that's going to cover up our lack of surrender and service to him. We are, how many of you ever heard the phrase authorized service provider? I've talked to people in different types of businesses, so on and so forth, and they'll say, I am an authorized service provider for such and such a company. Tell your neighbor, you're an authorized service provider. You're not just a servant. You are authorized as a son. And that is so important to understand, because if not, you'll go around with a beat down kind of almost victim mentality. We serve from a place of sonship, just like Jesus did. So I just believe that for anybody who will be honest tonight and receive this word, look, I've done this long enough to know people will hear something like this and it's going to go in one ear and out the other, if it even made it in the ear. Sometimes it just bounces off the head, right? But I pray that it does more than just go in an ear. I pray that it goes into our spirit so we can receive this and actually do something with it. Because people come to church all the time and walk out and it's as though nothing was ever said. And you know, really thrills me sometimes is we'll preach something. I may preach it 4 or 5 times and then somebody will go somewhere and they'll hear somebody say it and they'll start telling me about it. What a wonderful revelation that was. Well, I'm glad they finally got it. But my question is, where were you all this time? Right? But I'm glad you got it. I am glad you got it. Listen, the Lord knows that there's going to be some struggles. He knows there's going to be some issues that you're going to have to deal with, but I just believe God will help us through all of them. If we will truly make the decision, God, I want to make sure you got the best service plan possible available to you, and I want to make it lifetime. Now, how many of you tonight would say, I want to do away with any exclusions that I've had in my own life and my own heart? Because again, if you can say out of your mouth, God, I'll do this, but please don't ever ask me to do this because I'm not going to do it. God, I'll go here, but don't ever ask me to go there because I'm not going to do it. I'll go feed some hungry people and some old people that I see as victims of society, but I'm not going to do anything to bless that joker who said something ugly about me. We got to get rid of the exclusions. Got to get rid of them. and it's got to be for a lifetime. If you believe that, then why don't you just stretch your hands out to the Lord, and if you mean it in your heart, then it's going to, I believe God's going to hear that, and he's going to give you what you need to walk this out. Now, I don't want to do the praying for you. I'm praying for me. So you need to pray for yourself, okay? But I'm praying for me. Just be honest with God, and you just tell him those things. But I'm praying for me now. Father, I'm just asking you right now, Lord, to set this in my heart. Just set it in my spirit, God. Lord, that you remind me when I'm not giving you the kind of service that you deserve, God. Lord, that you remind me that I'm your son. Lord, that it's not just I'm not working as a slave to you, but I'm working as a son who wants to please you, who wants to honor you. And God, I just choose right now to get rid of the exclusions. And I pray you show me every exclusion that I've set up in my heart. Lord, all the small print things in my life, Lord, where I've made up my mind I would not obey. God, I pray, reveal those to me, expose those to me, Father, because I want them out. I want them gone. And Father, I'm just declaring to you right now, and I pray everybody else in this room can honestly say it from their heart. I'm declaring to you right now, Father God, this is a lifetime thing. Lord, there is nothing that can happen in this world that can turn me away from you. Father, I'm making that decision, not based in pride, not based in my own understanding or natural ability, but based in who you have called me to be. Lord, I don't want to be arrogant like Peter, who said, I'll never deny you. God, I know in my flesh, I'll deny you in a heartbeat, Father, in my flesh, because I'm all about self-preservation. But Lord, as I'm living by the Spirit, I will never deny you. And I pray, Father, help me live by the Spirit. Lord, I want this to be a lifetime thing. Lord, no matter what happens, God, Lord, I want to be able to say, I still serve you. I still love you. I still belong to you. Father, I know that these are words that I know the enemy's going to test them. But by your grace, God, we'll live this out. By your grace, we'll see this through. By your grace, Father God, we'll demonstrate the reality of your presence, the reality of your strength, the reality of your anointing in our life, Father. Because you've called us, Lord, not to just come close with our lips, but to come close with our hearts. When we come to you tonight, I thank you, Father God, shoring us up, for straightening us up, for cleansing us, for doing what needs to be done, Lord, because we want to give you what you deserve. Thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you, Father.
Pastors Dwayne and Cindy would like to thank you for joining us today. We trust that your life has been enriched by the Word of God. We want to encourage you to get plugged into a life-giving church in your area. If you'd like to contact us, you may do so at area code 337-582-2090. If you'd like to write to us or send financial support for this program, you may send it to 350 Highway 165, Iway, Louisiana 70647. You may also email us at cotp@centurytel.net. Church of the Promise is located approximately 10 miles east of Lake Charles and 1/2 mile south of I-10 at exit 44. Our service times are 10:30 Sunday morning and 7 o'clock on Wednesday evenings. Until next time, remember, you are loved and your life is worth living.